Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. These words from the first lesson, so memorably set to majestic music in 1742 by George Frederick Handel. These words describe the return of Israel to Jerusalem from exile in Babylon. And in St. Mark's Gospel, these same words of consolation announce the arrival in Israel of the last prophet of the Old Covenant and the greatest man born of woman, the one crying out to the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, the brilliant and enigmatic John the Baptist. Mark tells us that John appeared in the desert proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But from the beginning, John knew that his baptism was merely a preparation for a new baptism to come from his divine cousin, a baptism not merely of water, but of the Holy Spirit, a baptism that is of fire. This fire, of course, is the divine love, which cleanses us of our sins and calls us into fellowship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the same fire that purifies us and equips us to live in holiness all the days of our lives. And this is the fire that dispels the darkness of sin and fills our minds with the light of understanding so that we may know the truth of the Word of God. But this fire is not only the love which transforms the children of Adam into the children of God by the grace of adoption. This is also the fire which will consume the entire cosmos at the end of days and bring about a new creation which we cannot yet imagine. Hear the Apostle Peter. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Peter continues, since everything is to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved in flames and the elements melted by fire. In other words, this universe is not eternal. This unimaginably vast and ancient universe, with its hundreds of billions of galaxies, had a beginning, and it will have an end. Whether that end is tomorrow or uncounted billions of years from now, the end is certain. But the inevitable destruction of this present cosmos is not the end of God's creation, it is rather the beginning of a new creation. Listen again to St. Peter. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise as some regard delay, but he is patient with you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And here we come up a great problem for contemporary Christians posed by the view of the world of scientific materialism, which reduces all creation, including us, to congealed stardust. It explains the operations of our minds as merely a bundle of electrochemical impulses, and sees no more significance in a human life than in a drifting asteroid. It is, in fact, the case that the cosmos is composed of congealed stardust, and so are we, but there is so much more. And what Holy Scripture reveals is that the destiny of each person, of the entire human race, and of the whole universe are bound up together in one eternal plan of salvation. And so Peter concludes that according to the Lord's promise, we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager to be found without spot or blemish before him, at peace. Now, to be found without spot or blemish is to be, in a word, immaculate. And 2 days ago, we rejoiced in the Immaculate One who surrendered her entire life in the obedience of faith to the Word of God. For the sake of her Son and the death he would suffer, Mary was preserved from the stain of sin by God's grace from the moment of her conception. And we are washed clean of the stains of our sins by holy baptism. But even after baptism, we regularly fail in our struggle against the mystery of lawlessness, and then we fall back into sin. And that is why going to confession is an essential part of a life of holiness and devotion. Every time we receive the sacrament of penance and reconciliation given by the Lord to his church on the day of resurrection, then the grace of our baptism is renewed, and we are again washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. In these Advent days of waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, the Immaculate Virgin Mary shows us how to live in holiness and devotion, at peace with the living God and with each other. Mary said to the angel of the Lord, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." And that is the pattern of all holiness. Mary's obedience untied the knot of Eve's disobedience and prepared the way for the eternal Word of God to become the incarnate Word of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. My friends, our faith in the Lord Jesus and our obedience to his holy gospel, which are confirmed to be authentic, most especially when we go to confession, are the means by which we fulfill the precept given to us on this second Sunday of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. All flesh shall see the salvation of our God.